I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. And this is the second part of our June 11, 2013 program. Are you hungry after all that talk about delicious food? Actually, I'm not too hungry yet, but I got some good ideas from that last portion of the program. And I love eating healthy, delicious, plant-based food because it is so good. All right, next up, I'm very excited about this. Gene Barr from Farm Sanctuary. He's the co-founder and president of Farm Sanctuary, America's leading farm animal protection organization. Gene has been hailed as the conscience of the food movement by Time magazine. For 25 years, he has traveled extensively, campaigning to raise awareness about the abuses of industrialized factory farming and our cheap food system. His book, entitled Farm Sanctuary, Changing Hearts and Minds About Animals and Food, was published by Touchstone in March 2008 and has appeared on the Los Angeles Times and the Boston Globe. How are you doing, Gene? Welcome to It's All About Food.
I'm great, Karen. How are you doing? It's great
Good.
To be with you.
Where are you today?
I'm here in the D.C. area, which is where I'm based, but I do travel a fair bit. I'll be up in New York this weekend and then I go out to California a little bit later in the month.
Great. Well, I want you to relax this next half hour. You're in safe territory. This is Vegan World here on my show. I won't be asking you where you get your protein. You talk a lot during the year. I understand you travel all over and give a lot of different talks. And my first question is, has that presentation that you give, has it changed over the last quarter of a century?
A lot of the basic information is still the same.
Yeah.
That is, you know, that animals are being mistreated on factory farms and that citizens can make a choice not to support those industries by shifting to a whole food plant-based diet. So that's the primary message that I keep hammering, because it seems, you know, it's as far as I can tell, it's the truth, and, you know, it's the same. Now, things have made, there have been some changes over the years in terms of the industry. We've been able to pass some laws to ban some of the worst cruelties, so that's positive news. There has been more awareness about factory farming, and there's a growing mainstream opposition to the inhumane treatment of animals on farms. There's a growing recognition of the benefits of plant-based eating. So we have a lot of positive things in place in terms of attitude and awareness. And we also have the internet now where people can share information and see videos of factory farms, for example. And they can also get recipes for vegan food. So there's a lot of good information available. Those are all the good things. The bad thing is that we still have a massive infrastructure that supports industrial animal agriculture that includes tax breaks from the government and support from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. We have our school system that is still not doing as good a job as it should be of creating healthy habits in children, although there's a couple of schools now that are promoting Meatless Mondays or doing vegetarian cafeterias, so there's some progress there. But by and large, you know, meat eating is still the norm, and it is something that is not addressed in a very thoughtful way, unfortunately. And so the kind of mindless consumption patterns continue, and that's what we continue speaking out against and encouraging people to make more thoughtful, more healthful, more humane, more sustainable food choices. And I think that's where the change is going to happen, is in the marketplace.
Yay,
we've been able to pass some laws, but at the end of the day, agribusiness depends on consumers to buy their product. When we stop buying meat, milk, and eggs, and anything from these cruel industries, they will have to shift. And that's starting to happen a little bit right now.
So I imagine over the last quarter century of talking to people, you've been inspired by some of the good things that are happening, but being a broken record, saying the same thing over and over, it's just amazing to me how over time people still don't know or still don't want to know and still ask the same questions. And in some ways it makes me feel like we're all mindless robots running around because we ask the same questions when we're posed with a certain concept. We're all programmed.
we are programmed and we're bombarded with certain messages, you know, for years and on a regular basis on television and the radio, and these become a belief system. So, you know, we grow up being told that you need to eat meat to get protein. And that's absolutely not the case, but it's been said so many times for so many years through the media. And then parents say it to their children, who then say it to their children and say it to their friends. Even doctors are misinformed about nutrition, and they get a lot of their information from the pharmaceutical companies, who kind of have an interest in people buying their products, you know, such as heart medication. So we have an institutional systemic problem, and it is one that takes some energy to break out of. You know, most people go along with the majority. We are social animals. We tend to do what those around us do. And unfortunately, the majority of people still consume animals in this country, still think that we need to consume animals, you know, or that consuming animals is healthy somehow. So those are the beliefs. And the fact is we can live and do very well without eating any animal foods, including dairy products. You know, one of the things that the dairy industry has the public believing is that we need to drink cow's milk in order to get calcium so we don't get osteoporosis. And that's absolutely not the case. In our country, we drink a lot of cow's milk, and we also get a lot of osteoporosis. So that's clearly not preventing that problem. So, you know, we have some myths that we grow up with and we act on, and I think we just need to be open-minded and be willing to think of things in a different way and be willing to go against the mainstream, which is what needs to happen if somebody wants to adopt a vegan lifestyle right now.
You know, I think we have some things in our favor these days. So there are more people that have been vegan for a long time, more of us. And some of us in our 40s and 50s, I recently turned 55, we're feeling good, we're looking good, while our peers are looking pasty and pale and are having joint pains, knee pains, shoulder pains, all kinds of pains. And I think it's becoming clearer on an individual basis why this diet is so good.
That is absolutely true. The proof is in the pudding, and people are starting to recognize that now and take notice of these vegans who are doing very well health-wise.
Right, and take Gene Barr, for example, okay? I saw a little video. You were on KTLA recently in Los Angeles. You looked fabulous.
Oh, well, thank you.
You looked fabulous, and the co-host did not look as good. And, I mean, you can just see what a testament it is to the great nutrition that plants provide. And I noticed that you were recently interviewed in Runner's World last month.
That's right. I was in Runner's World in the May issue. I was in the I'm a Runner feature. And I've done three marathons in the past year, and I qualified for Boston at all three of them. So in the last marathon I ran in Los Angeles, I was in the top 3rd percentile for my age group in terms of the time I finished in. So, you know, as a vegan, you can do pretty darn well. And I'm now in the process of training to do an Ironman triathlon later on this year. Just again, demonstrating that vegans can do fairly well in the athletic field.
Well, there's another myth. A lot of people believe as they age, life is just going to go downhill and our bodies aren't going to work for us and we're going to feel worse and worse. And I like to think we're not getting older, we're getting better.
I think that's a very good attitude, and I agree with it. You know, the way that, you know, to think that our bodies are going to fall apart and they're not going to take care of us causes us to not take care of them, actually. And I think we need to be very mindful. We need to pay attention to our bodies and feed them properly, move them, exercise them, and just listen to our bodies and be mindful of the consequences of our choices, whether it's how we eat or, you know, whether we exercise or not. So you know, getting older does not necessarily lead to us suffering more, as is oftentimes assumed.
You have done a phenomenal job educating the public about what is wrong with our food system and what's going on with animal agriculture, and I have to thank you over and over for that. You have touched so many souls and made such a tremendous difference. And while that happens, there's this great pushback between the animal agriculture industry and corporations that want to sell us unhealthy stuff. And we continue to hear a lot of distractions about this, issues that are really ridiculous. And there was one on that KTLA program when I watched that video where they were talking about, is veganism the new anorexia?
That was amazing, yeah.
I mean,
that wasn't even...
And that's nutty.
Mm-hmm.
It's such,
that is nutty.
It's so, you know, they just want to go for sensationalism and things that make something that is so good, eating plant foods. You cannot connect that with somebody who's not eating.
Absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, I think it speaks to the fear that people have, the fear of change. And so we just need to be able to demonstrate that living in this way makes sense, that it's healthy, and it's good for you. And I think making this lifestyle attractive is also very important, as I'm sure you know, too. And so I think there are some misconceptions out there, and there's fear, and those are some of the main things that we have to be able to confront. And we can do that by being supportive of any positive change somebody makes, or if they're starting to look into these issues. And when certain strange questions come at us, like happened when I was on KTLA, and we just, I think, have to recognize that it's coming from a place of fear, and that, you know, these people have been bombarded with certain messages and have prejudices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a general prejudice against this idea that you can live well as a vegan, you know, given the mass marketing of the meat, dairy, and egg industries in our country.
Well, the fact that we are a fat society, more and more people are overweight, some are obese, and some are just plump. But plump is like the norm, so that when you see someone who's fit and slim, I've heard a lot of people say, you're too thin.
Right. Bad becomes normal. And, you know, I have not been to a doctor in many, many years, and I figured a few years ago I was in my late 40s, and I should go to the doctor just to make sure everything was fine. So I went to the doctor, and everything was fine. But the doctor asked me what if I had any heart disease in my family. And I told him that my father had a heart attack. And one of the first things he said to me was, well, I might want to put you on heart medication,
yeah.
Which is ridiculous. I mean, so that's the norm, which is crazy. So I left that doctor. I went to another doctor. And basically just had him take my blood and ask him, you know, what does it look like? Because everything's in the normal range, except for one category is outside the normal range. And that category was the bad cholesterol, and it was below the low normal. So,
right.
So these numbers start getting skewed up, and I think that, you know, cholesterol numbers and so on have been adjusted to sort of fit our population profile, which maybe isn't the healthiest profile.
Correct.
And so bad becomes normal, and that's what we're dealing with.
That is correct. You know, I just want to add here that just because you're vegan does not mean you're invulnerable, and nobody gets out of this world alive. We all have a certain lifespan, and then the game is over. So while we're here, we should be having a great time, experiencing joy, enjoying our bodies, and being and feeling good as well as we possibly can. And that's where plant-based foods really can kick in and make the difference. I know I had a personal health crisis how long ago now? 2007 years ago. Time marches on. I had advanced ovarian cancer, and I was a vegan. And I've kind of figured out to myself how this happened to me, but what is very clear to me is my diet kept me alive for decades. I was living with a problem and didn't really acknowledge it, and it also kept me alive through my treatment, and now I'm thriving. And that's the power of plants. It doesn't mean that problems are not going to arise, but when we're feeding ourselves with great nutrition, it's going to really improve our odds of doing well and feeling great.
That's absolutely the case. And like you say, we're all human. We're all vulnerable. We will all die. But how our bodies perform and how our lives play out is very much affected by what we put into our bodies. And if we're putting in toxins, if we're putting in, you know, animal foods that our bodies cannot properly digest, if we're putting in foods that are laced with antibiotic-resistant bacteria and various other pathogens, that's only going to have negative impacts. So eating healthy food that is clean, that allows our bodies to function at the best level they can, you know, is good across the board. It also strengthens our immune system so that when we do have various challenges, that our bodies are best equipped to fight those off. So it's, but like you say, we're human beings and we all have various issues that we deal with. And at the end of the day, we're going to all of our bodies are going to end up going back into the earth. But while we're here, while we're breathing, while we're alive, I think we want to thrive and live as well as possible. At least that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, and be nice to everything else around us, everyone and everything. Let's talk a little bit about Farm Sanctuary and where you are today. Now, you're in D.C., and I know Farm Sanctuary has gotten more involved in dialogues with our government.
Yeah, well, we have for a long time tried to pass legislation to ban some of the worst cruelties that happen on factory farms, and we're still involved in that process. So we've worked on state laws, we've worked on federal laws, but whenever you're working on legislation, you know, frankly, you're going to get fairly modest improvements.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll keep doing that. We think it's important. We think it's important to be involved in the process and for citizens to be involved in the process as well. But we also do a lot to educate people about the fact that we can live and be healthy with eating plant foods and not eating animal foods. So we educate people about the benefits of plant-based eating. And we have three sanctuaries where we take care of farm animals who have been rescued from horrible abuse situations. In some cases, we found living animals that were thrown away in trash cans or discarded on piles of dead animals. So we rescue those animals and take care of them at our sanctuaries, one in upstate New York and one in Northern California and one down near Los Angeles, California. And so these sanctuaries are places where the animals are our friends, not our food. They're places where people can come visit and connect with cows and pigs and turkeys and chickens and sheep and goats and get to recognize them as living, feeling creatures. And at Farm Sanctuary, the animals are seen very much like other people see their cats and dogs. If they're sick, we get the veterinarian out to take a look at them. And they get to live out their lives. They get to enjoy their lives. And it's a beautiful place. It's a sanctuary for animals and a sanctuary for people. And we invite people to come visit. And we model a different kind of relationship with these animals, one that is based on compassion, as opposed to the model that you see on factory farms, which is a callous disregard to the animal's basic welfare. And on factory farms, you're seen as commodities. At Farm Sanctuary, these animals are our companions. And I think most people, when they look at those two different worlds, would rather live in a world where the animals are our friends rather than where the animals are being abused.
I know I would.
Yeah, I think most people do. Most people are humane. Most people are humane and don't like cruelty. But unfortunately, most people are unwittingly supporting cruelty by consuming animal food. And so then you have this disconnect and you have this dissonance between people's empathy and their compassionate values and their actions, which do not support empathy and compassionate values. And as a result, when we talk about factory farming, people oftentimes say, don't tell me, I don't want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's upsetting to know what is happening, and most people are appalled by it and don't want to be part of it. So rather than changing, you know, because people are very afraid of change, they just say, don't tell me, I don't want to know. And I don't think that's a very good answer. I think that we need to take responsibility. We need to look at what we're doing, look at the consequences of our actions, and then make choices that we can feel good about.
You brought up fear, and that's such an important concept, and it impacts everything we do, positive and negative. But when somebody says, I don't want to know about that, what do you say to them? Is there a way to get through to them when they specifically say, I don't want to know?
You know, I think different people are going to respond to different types of messages, but, you know, I would ask them, why don't you want to know? You know, and ask, you know, respond with a question, and they'll say, I don't want to know because it's upsetting. Well, why is it upsetting? Because I don't like what they're doing to the animals. Why don't you like what they're doing to the animals?
Right, good.
Because these animals have feelings and they suffer.
They know.
So I think most people actually when they examine their conscience, will come to recognize that, you know, this is a system that is inappropriate and is outside the bounds of acceptable conduct, and that ultimately we should, you know, it should be changed. But it takes time, and old habits take a while to change, and people are scared of change. So, you know, we just have to be patient, but we also need to be persistent and firm in our position and straightforward about what is happening. But I think we also need to be understanding that for a lot of people, they're frightened and they don't know what to do. I think that's one reason also people say, don't tell me, I don't want to know, because they don't think they can change. They feel disempowered. Mm. They believe they need animal foods for protein or calcium or whatever, and they also believe that eating plant foods is very difficult. And neither of those is true. You can get everything you need from plant foods and no animal foods, and it's getting easier and easier to eat a completely vegan diet. And so this idea that it's difficult is another of those myths. And so there's lots of vegan food available, and it's getting easier than ever.
And what do I say on It's All About Food all the time? I say, you don't know how good you can feel until you do it. You just don't know. And it feels good, yeah. Okay, Farm Sanctuary has a walk for farm animals?
That's right.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, in the fall we have a walk for farm animals, and we even have a website specifically to this program called walkforfarmanimals.org. And thousands of people around the country gather together to walk in support of protecting farm animals and supporting Farm Sanctuary's work. This is a great way to raise awareness and to raise funds, to reach out to your friends and your family and your coworkers and encourage them to become engaged and aware of these issues as well. So it's it allows us to reach more and more people every year. And we have walks going on in about 40 cities this year. And
wow.
If you go to the website, walkforfarmanimals.org, you can see if there's a walk in your area, and you can join it. But even if there is not a walk in your area, you can still get involved. So just check out the website, and hopefully, you know, people who are hearing this will want to get involved and be part of the solution to this massive problem that needs more attention.
Now, most people, the ones that are afraid or the ones that are afraid of change specifically, will say, I have a busy life, I don't know what to eat, and you're on the road all the time. So how do you do it? You look great. You're running and training for an Ironman, and you're on the road. What are you eating, and where do you get it from?
Yeah, well, you can go to grocery store and get fruit, you know, apples or bananas, for example. That's pretty easy to do. Or nuts and raisins. I'll have those fairly frequently. I stay at my parents' when I'm in L.A., and they usually have oats, and I just take oats with soy milk or almond milk or some kind of non-dairy milk. That's very easy to do. Oatmeal. You can get oatmeal at restaurants all over the place. You can get the burritos at some fast food chains or other restaurants. You get a bean burrito with no cheese. That's an easy vegan thing to get. You get spaghetti with marinara sauce, you know, no meatballs. Maybe they can throw some veggies in there. You're just being a little bit creative. Works, and it's getting easier and easier. You know, it used to be that for soy milk back in the 1980s, you'd have to mix a powder with a water to get soy milk. Now you can go to grocery stores and they have different varieties of non-dairy alternatives. There's almond milk, there's soy milk, there's coconut milk, and it's getting, you know, so it's I think it's just a matter of getting out of old habits. And instead of going and getting cow's milk, you know, go and purchase a non-dairy milk.
Yeah, there's no excuse that holds anymore. It's all out there. It's all easy. It's all available pretty much all over the United States. You mentioned your parents. What do they eat?
Well, my parents are not vegan, but they eat a lot less animal foods than they used to.
Mm-hmm.
My dad had a heart attack about 15 years ago, and when he was in the hospital, they were feeding him bacon and eggs.
Oh, I know that. Oh, is that crazy?
It's amazing. So that actually, I think, opened his mind to this idea that the doctor doesn't know everything.
Amen.
Yeah, and so my dad started reading books. He read Dean Ornish's book on reversing heart disease, and has changed how he's eating, and my mother has also changed in a positive direction, and their health has improved because of it.
Oh, that's good news. Very good indeed. Yeah, the it's crazy. I know that when I was in the hospital and I would talk to dietitians about what I wanted to eat and see what they were feeding people, cancer patients, bacon, like you said, and foods with sugar and sugar feeds cancer. It's just crazy. And these people, they have degrees and they were educated and they don't know anything.
It's really amazing. It's sort of the comeback and see us diet that they give them at hospitals. It's really unfortunate. And you know, I think the people that work in the hospitals are not bad people. They're just terribly misinformed, and they have bad habits, and they assume that this is the right way and the healthy way to eat when it is not. But again, there's starting to be more awareness about it, and even some doctors are now starting to speak out, and
right.
I'm hopeful that that this...
We just have a few seconds, Gene, so thank you so much for joining me, and it's all about food. You're so great, and you're doing great things. Thank you so much for that. And we're out of time, so thanks for joining me. I'm Karen Hartglass. It's all about food. Join me at responsibleeatingandliving.com, and have a delicious week.